In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God bless everyone.
Reading from Acts 1 and 2, starting at verse 3. After Jesus' suffering, he presented himself to his apostles and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
Good morning, everyone. Can we stand as we take this song, please? Special moment.
We gather in the presence of the King.
Holy Spirit, we need you.
Would you breathe on
like never before? Holy Spirit, I need you. We need you.
Would you breathe on?
Would you baptize us in you again this morning? Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Breathe on us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. A few weeks ago, last week, we were at the ELS conference, the Healing Leadership Conference, at Harrogate. One thing that we could say, and one thing that I could say, is that the presence of the Holy Spirit was so tangible. During the sessions, the Holy Spirit was there meeting with his people. The Holy Spirit was there, but there was also a sort of an invitation that nobody stand or come up on the stage and give that invitation, but there is a sense of Holy Spirit inviting his people into intimacy with himself. The Holy Spirit wanted to pour out himself. He wanted to pour out his grace, his power, and his purpose on his people and baptize us again, as this song was saying. There was one session where I felt so, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so powerful, was so tangible, and you know, at some moment they gave the altar call, and before even we get to that moment, I felt the urge. I was feeling the urge in myself. I couldn't resist. I just wanna not move from where I was. Something was restraining me, because I came to a point where I said, "Lord, I wanted more. I want more. I want more. And I want more. And I want more. And I want more of yourself, Lord. And I want more. Pour out more on me." And I couldn't resist. I couldn't contain myself. And I was looking, and suddenly they say, "If you need the touch of the Holy Spirit," or something like that, "just come." I thought everyone's going to rush there. And then I ran from where I was. I was right in the middle of my aisles, and people blocking me. Scott was here. And, you know, we got about 3 or 4 or 7, maybe 10 people before I could get out from that, you know, tight space. But I ran and came out and ran to the altar and knelt to the altar. I thought everyone's going to follow me. I didn't realize that I was by myself in that moment. But I didn't care, because something was moving and raging inside of me. And I was crying, "Lord, here I am. I am here today. Lord, this is your chance. I give myself to you, but this is your chance to do what you want to do in my life. Because this race, there's no way I run it by my own strength. This calling, there's no way I fulfill it by my own strength. This life you have called us to live, there's no way I could do it by myself. I say, Lord, change me, transform me. Here I am. I give you a chance. Do it, and do it now." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I wonder what was happening in that upper room where the 120 gathered. I wonder where, what's the cry, outcry, what their prayers. I wonder what their desire were during those 10 days before the Holy Spirit came. I wonder the hunger that they had, the thirst, the level of desperation. I wonder for 10 days. Now the church today finds itself in a position where we desperately need a move of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. And I hope at home you need the Holy Spirit. I hope here you need the Holy Spirit. My hope today is that the Holy Spirit come. He comes with power and grace. The Bible describes in the book of Acts what happened. We're going to see it in a moment. But I hope the same things happen just now as we gather in His presence in this place. I look forward to that. I thirst for that. I long for that. I want it. I desire it. Hallelujah. I am thirsty for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. From the very first page of Scripture to the birth of the church in Acts, the Holy Spirit is revealed as the divine person who brings life, order, power, and new beginnings. He's not an optional addition to Christian life, to the Christian life. He is the very breath, Ruach, the very breath of God at work in the world, in the church, and in the believer's life. Genesis 1 shows us the spirits at the dawn of creation. Act 2 shows us the spirits at the dawn of the church. Both moments reveal the same truth. When the Spirit moves, something new is born. Life becomes evident. Amen. Today I want to draw us into a sort of parallel as we explore the purpose, the action, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in these two fundamental passages and what it means for us today, what it means for us as believers, as Jesus' followers. See, I don't even need my glasses. It's one miracle right there. Thank you, Jesus. So let's dive into that. We have two important, very important passages, chapters this morning. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Kate. Paul has run away every time, but today, thank you, Jesus, we cannot escape. I couldn't escape. We can't escape. When His hands is on you, He will fulfill His destiny. Amen. Amen. So let's look at it. Now, I want to take us in a sort of parallel, okay? As we look at Genesis, we're going to look at, we're going to take point by point. Please, just remain tuned. Remain tuned. Don't lose connection this morning, okay? Don't lose connection because the Holy Spirit want to do something very important, powerful in our lives and in this place this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit in Genesis. The spirits of creation.
Now, in the book of Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit reveals or manifested himself as the Spirit of creation. The Spirit of creation. Okay? The book of Genesis, in the first chapter, gives us three important revelation, very important revelation about the earth before creation. Three revelations. You heard it. Number one, what is it? He said, the earth was without form, void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So, the three revelations, number one, formless, without form. Without form, no structure or whatsoever, no order, nothing, empty, zero, empty, no life, there is nothing. Revelation number two, revelation number four, number three, darkness. Everything was dark. No light. No life. No light. No light. No life. Dark. Now let's look at this. It is very important to understand that the states of the earth before creation, that darkness doesn't indicate that the evil was in control. Because as often in the Bible, when the Bible refers to darkness, it is in connection with the evil, with evil. Darkness, evil. But in this passage, darkness is not equal to evil. It is only or simply the reflection of an unfinished state of matter. So, something was about to happen, to appear, to manifest. Creation was about to be birthed. Right? But darkness was there. It doesn't mean that evil was in control. God was in control. The Spirit of the Lord was in control. Jesus was in control. Hallelujah. And into these scenes steps the Holy Spirit. Into this chaos, the Holy Spirit introduces himself. The Holy Spirit came. So that is Genesis 1. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. The Spirit revealed himself or manifested himself as the Spirit of new creation. New creation. Somebody say new creation.
New creation.
New creation. The Spirit of new creation. The scene before the Pentecost is like the disciples are gathered in the upper room. Now, what is the state of the disciples? They were waiting. They were praying. They were confused. Uncertain. Uncertain, unsure, fearful, expectant. They know that they carry something. Okay, shoes. They carry something, but how that thing gonna come to pass, come to manifestation? I didn't know. They carry vision, but they have no clue about the fulfillment of that vision. So again, just like Genesis, the environment is unfinished. The scene is chaotic, unseen, unfinished. The church is not born yet. It's not yet born. The mission has not yet begun. They did not know what to do nor where to go. And again, the Spirit moves. Somebody say the Spirit moves. The Spirit moves. And the Spirit moves first. The Holy Spirit steps into the environment with power, wonder, and purpose. Hallelujah. Are we following this? Are we learning? Are you awake? Come on. You've got to follow. Hallelujah. Stay connected. Stay connected. We are going somewhere. So, now let's look at the purpose of the Holy Spirit, both in Acts, in creation and in Acts. Let's look at the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now, number one, the Holy Spirit came, or his purpose this moment, or his work, was to prepare the environment. He was preparing the environment. The Holy Spirit prepared the environment for the Word of God. Oh, my goodness. The Holy Spirit prepared the environment. He prepares the environment for the Word of God. Before God said anything, the Holy Spirit was moving. Before God said, "Let there be light," the Spirit was already moving. The Spirit prepares what the word will transform. He prepares the atmosphere. He prepares what is going to happen. He prepares this is why the Bible says, you know, he is the one who has the capacity, the power to call to existence things that not yet seen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit. Oh, come on. You need to follow. You need to follow today because we are going somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my prayer is that as we journey through this, God is stirring a holy hunger in your life, in your belly, in relation to where you are. Those situations and circumstances that remains number two, to bring others out of chaos. Where the Spirit is present, chaos becomes cosmos. Look at the cosmos. Beauty. Hallelujah. Order. Purpose. Everything that we see today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Number three, to initiate life. The Holy Spirit in Genesis is the author of the emergence or the emerging life. Hallelujah. Listen to what Job said. Job 33:4. He said, "The Spirit of God has made me. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." The breath of God gives me life. The Spirit gives life. He brings about life, abundant life. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about life, this life we are talking about is the Zoe life. Please catch this. The Zoe life. It is also a total and complete salvation. Life. Salvation. Salvation is Zoso. Zoso means to be complete and whole. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stir up something in our heart. Stir up something in our hearts, in this place, at home. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, hover, move, breathe, Holy Spirit creates in our lives. Let our lives, let our eyes see, Father God, beyond the physical. Father, we remove and cancel every distraction, Father God. We remove and cancel everything that the enemy is bringing at this moment. Hallelujah. You need to catch the revelation. Revelation produces life. Hallelujah. Amen. Number four, to reveal God's creative nature. Reveal God's creative nature. The Spirit is the divine artist shaping creation with intentionality and power. Everything we see around us, the beauty of the seas, the mountains, plants, animals, birds, etc., reflects the creative power of the Holy Spirit. You know what David said? Do you know what David said? David says this: when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human being that you created them. Hallelujah. David was saying, oh my goodness, you are so powerful. Look at what you have created from the sky to the earth. It is just amazing. But you have placed man as the sum, you know, of everything. Lord, you are mighty. So let's look at Acts 2. We're talking about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now, number one, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes to prepare the environment for the birth of the church. Pentecost is the church's Genesis moment. Do you know that? The church's Genesis moment. The same way the Spirit sets the world in motion, he unleashed a movement that has never been witnessed before and cannot be stopped, can never be stopped. Hallelujah. The church was birthed. The church will grow and will continue to grow. Nothing could stop the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing could stop these movements. They will try. They'll bring persecution. The more you persecute them, the more they grow. The more. I say them because we are, you know, riding on, you know, in the West, in the UK. So we don't know persecution yet, is it? But the more they persecute them, the more they grow. Hallelujah. And they move with power and a demonstration of God and his love. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Number two, let's move a little bit quickly. Number two, to empower believers to witness or for witness. You know, when we look at the book of Acts, everything about the book of Acts is the empowerment of the believers for witness. That's what the book of Acts is all about. Hallelujah. Empower believers for witness. The Spirit, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me. The Spirit does not come to, I put this word into Google today to hear the pronunciation, how to pronounce that, but it's gone. Don't worry.
Yeah.
to empower. Every believer has the potential through the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness of Jesus. A powerful one. Hallelujah. Raise your hand. If this, you kind of catch this revelation. You've got the power. You have been empowered to witness to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shibra sira kandia sota. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, the Father will send another. The word another is allos. Allos, the same as me, Jesus was saying to his disciple. He will send another allos, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Abide with you forever. Do you realize this week somebody was sharing a brief testimony? They say, look, my first proper accountant work, you know, I even haven't got the full qualification yet, and I went for the job. They went for the job, and you know, you got the interview, and then you're gonna go and do the test. Test time, 1 hour. For 15 minutes, they sat down and they could not comprehend a thing on the paper. And suddenly they realize, I have a helper. I have a helper. Amen. And they shout, Holy Spirit, come and help me. And the Holy Spirit came. And all of a sudden, 15 minutes after, they finished everything and they were out. Half an hour before the time finished, before they enter into the bus or the tube in London, there was a phone call. Your test is outstanding. Your test is outstanding. They have no clue. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Do you know that? Yes. Jesus said, yes. He will abide. He will abide. He will reveal. He will take you. Hallelujah. We're going to move first. Okay. Number three, we're talking about the purpose to fulfill prophecy. The occurrence of Acts is the fulfillment of what God has promised through the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in those days, in the latter days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. We are in those latter days. Hello? We are in those latter days for the Holy Spirit to come and move among us. A new dawn has been opened for the church to move with power, purpose, and intent. Number four. This is the last one, to reveal Jesus as Lord. Amen. Look at Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Everything was centered on Christ. He said, this man that you have put to death, God has raised him to life. Amen. Because it was impossible that he remained trapped by the grave. It is impossible for Jesus to remain. How can life remain in the grave? This is life. And this is what has been prophesied. And he drew them into this, into the love of God. The Holy Spirit come to reveal Jesus as Lord and Savior. He said, this Jesus is Lord over all. Repent and be baptized. Let's carry on. See, this is the last one. The Holy Spirit, the action we've looked at. What's the purpose? Action of the Holy Spirit in Genesis. Action of the Holy Spirit in Genesis. The Bible talk about the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Hebrew word rakath. No. Not the breath. Not ruach. But I'm talking about when the word that describes the movement of the Holy Spirit hovering over the earth, over the surface of the earth, is rakath, you know. And this is also, it means a brood, like a mother bird. You know, it's like, have you ever kind of asked yourself, how come a hen sat or sit on on her eggs, all right, for 21 days, and for 21 days she remained there. She will go and come back, but she remained there. What made that hen to remain there with anticipation, with expectation, with intent, with purpose? Because she knows that something was going to happen. She will not move. She will not go until life is emerged, or until chicks start hatching. This is the same thing with the Holy Spirit at the creation. And this is the same thing with the Holy Spirit when, on the day of the of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Sound like rushing wind. During this week, I was, researching, and I heard an American preacher. I don't want to name them. You know what they said about the occurrence of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? The Bible talk about, come on, wind, rushing, mighty wind, tongue of fire, and the tongue, the spoken tongue. Now, he said, okay, this is not a physical manifestation. He said it is like. Now, this is how he described it. It is like, just as you feel sensation in your body, just like that. Oh, come on. I said, this guy doesn't know Holy Spirit. He doesn't. He doesn't know the Holy Spirit. He has no understanding about the occurrence of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Bible talk about rushing mighty wing. Rushing mighty wing. How come sensation in the body of one person become a sensation in 120 people's body? Hallelujah. And with uniformity, that all has the same experience. How come then the flame, tongue of flame, is just a representation or manifestation that just felt something in the head? No. Hallelujah. The Bible talk about tongue of flame coming down from heaven, descending on the head. Hallelujah. Just as Moses was going and faced the burning bush, the Bible says that the fire the bush, but without consuming, hallelujah, without consuming. There's something about the fire of the Holy Spirit that we must not kind of, you know, take for anything else. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody fool us about, no, fire. from heaven descends on people. They began to speak in another tongues. I will stop here. We still got the manifestation in both, but I'm going to stop here because we celebrate Pentecost today. And I believe that as a church, as a body, we need the Holy Spirit. If you're here, you have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, today is your day. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to come right now. If you're here and you kind of, you're moving, you're running on empty tank, you know, it happened to me, you know. The Holy Spirit is going to fill you. The Bible talk about Paul exhorts the disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are here and, you know, and you are facing situations, circumstances that need creation, that need new life, God is here. The Holy Spirit is hovering here right now. And then we're going to speak. We're going to speak into those things. And then we see they come to life. New beginning. Hallelujah. Empowerment. How is your witness? How is my witness? Hallelujah. I was saying to the Lord, no, I can't do this by myself. How can we call ourselves Christian? We cannot demonstrate the power of God. How can it be possible? Lord, you can do and you must do something. Our witness has to be authentic witness. They said, this Jesus, we follow him. We witness. And the same witness we demonstrate. Money and silver we have none. But in the name of that Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They took him. And he stand and walk. The Bible says he started limping and jumping and running into the temple, something he has never done before. Where is it today? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The week's comings leading to the mission week. After the mission week, has to be a season, a period for us where the Holy Spirit will be moving among us. Sandra, do you want to come, please? The Holy Spirit must be moving with us through signs, wonder, and miracles. Preach the preaching of the Word of God. Shall we stand on our feet? Can you help us? As Sandra come, or before Sandra, do you want to come? Come, Sandra. You're going to pray and lead us. You're going to pray. We didn't talk before, right? But you're going to pray and lead us into the declaration because the Holy Spirit is moving. He's hovering here now. We just need to speak. And we want to invite everybody to be speaking into their own situation and circumstances so that you see life, new creation coming to life. Hallelujah. And you're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. God bless.
Jesus. Holy Spirit, will you come right now? Lord, I can't do this. I don't know what to pray. But this morning, Lord, I just ask. I come, Holy Spirit, before you and I surrender. And I say, Lord, will you, Lord, align me, align us with your plans, with your purposes, through your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray for your Holy Spirit to pour out amongst your people this morning. Lord, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that tongues of fire will come out. Lord, even as I speak it, Lord, the fear comes up. But Lord Jesus, you can do it. You did it in the past. And Father, this morning we pray. We pray for the tongues of fire to come upon your people. That things that need to be brought into alignment with your plans and with your purpose and your holiness, Lord, I pray that it will be broken this morning and your Holy Spirit will pour out. Your Holy Spirit will have his rightful place in the hearts of your people. That, Lord, you will become their shepherd and their king. And they will bow down and say, you are king in my life. Through your Holy Spirit, pour out. Bring newness, Lord, in your precious name. Father, Lord, we pray that there will be you're hovering here, right, Holy Spirit. Now come upon your people. Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to his Holy Spirit. Come into alignment with his Holy Spirit for that newness, that new life, that transformation to come. Holy Spirit, pour out right now over your people. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we will come into alignment. Alignment with your plans and your purposes. And the old will be passed away as the new is replaced through your Holy Spirit. New life, transformative life. Life in abundance. Life not half-hearted, but wholehearted. Life that brings transformation. Life that brings redemption. Life that brings salvation. Life that brings healing. Life that brings all that you have promised, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit now to pour out. Pour out over your people. Come, life. Come, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands up. If you want the Holy Spirit this morning, lift your hands up and say,
yes, yes.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I want you again. I want you to fill me again. Not by might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come right now. Show your power.
Reach out right now.
Show your power right now. Holy Spirit, fill your people. Lord Jesus, let there be a rushing wind right now amongst your people. That, Lord, that creation that you performed at the beginning, speak the word, Lord. Speak the word right now, Lord. Speak life right now, Lord. Speak order, Lord. Speak new creation, Lord.
Yes, yes. Holy Spirit, come.
Cause seeds to begin to germinate that Lord, just cause seeds to germinate, Lord.
If you are.
Jesus.
If you're here, you need a fresh touch.
You don't
got no time, but we've got time for this. You need a fresh touch of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You come now. We're going to pray with you very quickly. If you there's something in your body, you want a shift. You want a shift from in your body. You want new creation. You're battling illness or anything. Or you need the Holy Spirit to come. Come now, we're going to pray for you. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is here. You need renewness in your mind. Renewness in your mind. Renewness in your mind. There is. This is the day for new creation. This is the day for new creation. If you want the touch of the Holy Spirit, you come now. Come now. Don't delay. This is your moment. This is your time. Come now.